Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu, two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Periskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome back, everybody, to The Fighting Priests. I'm your host, Father Ted Periskevopoulos, with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in Niverville, Manitoba. Father Thomas, how's it going?
I'm all right. Yourself?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
You know, we are now into the beginnings, I guess, of the ending of fall and the beginning of winter, as we record now. It's the beginning of November, and it's we're experiencing a little bit of a heat wave here in Toronto. We had negative under zero a few days ago, and now it's up to like 15 degrees Celsius, so it's pretty warm. You tell me that it's the same up in Manitoba?
Yeah, it was 19 yesterday.
Nice. For our American friends, 19, I don't even know what that is Fahrenheit, but it's hot.
I don't know Fahrenheit either. My father-in-law always uses Fahrenheit, and I'm always like, what is that?
It's t-shirt weather. That's all it is. Yeah. That's all it is. T-shirt and shorts weather, 19 degrees. It's nice outside.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And today we are back on our 17th episode, and we were going to talk about a subject that we've been kind of discussing for a bit. And this is the issue of yoga and BJJ. Increasingly, a lot of BJJ practitioners use elements of yoga for part of the, as part of their normal training and conditioning. For those of you who do practice BJJ, you know that, you know, it's hard on the body. Stretching is always recommended, weightlifting, things like that, other agility training and things like that, to be able to strengthen our bodies, because there is a lot of wear and tear. You know, I'm almost 40 now, I can definitely feel the wear and tear. Father Thomas is a little bit younger than me and in much better shape, but he feels it too, right, Father?
Yep, definitely been getting beaten up for 10 years. So it's plus everything. It's a lot of things adding up, you know, training and then from my feet, from hiking and everything. So it's get some injuries and sometimes you need to stretch out a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to take care of the body. And so yoga has become increasingly popular amongst BJJ practitioners. And we wanted to discuss today, our take on it, or at least our discussion about whether yoga is beneficial. And we know that, again, it is a controversial subject, at least in some Orthodox circles, because, you know, some Orthodox Christians, tend to shy away from yoga, or they feel that yoga is inappropriate to practice as an Orthodox Christian, at least for the spiritual implications that it has. And so we'll discuss that today as well, and whether it is possible to practice elements of yoga, at least the stretching and the physical elements of it, without being entangled in the spiritual side. So that's going to be our discussion today. Looking forward to it with you, Father Thomas. All right. So talking about yoga, Father Thomas, you mentioned to me that, you know, you have found that some elements of, some physical aspects of yoga have been beneficial to your recuperation and the maintenance of your physical well-being for jiu-jitsu. You want to tell us a little bit about that, what your experience has been, and what you feel is beneficial about it?
My experience has been when I get hurt, then I sign up for yoga for BJJ. I think it's yogaforbjj.net. You get a subscription, and then there's different sections there for injuries, and then for different. Right now, I'm doing the back body. Because I think it's my gluteus medius, kind of like on the side of your gluteus muscle, is like really tight. It's causing a problem.
I can make a joke right now, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah. So I don't know. This topic for me is interesting because in June, I think it was in June, the Church of Greece made a comment again. But I guess people are using yoga during the pandemic to manage their anxiety. So I think was there a study or something? There was something that caused the Church of Greece, the Synod, to make a statement, which they've done in the past. And they say the quote here, basically says yoga is, quote, absolutely incompatible with the Orthodox Christian faith and has no place in the life of Christians. So it's a pretty drastic statement. And I remember last year, the year before, when I was still in seminary, I had an injury and I had signed up for yoga for BJJ. And some of the students from Greece were triggered by it. They're like, you can't do yoga. You can't do yoga. Like, well, who said the church? Which church? Church of Greece. Well, we're under the patriarchate, so what is it? I don't care what the Church of Greece has to say, right? And there was even another Serbian student who's triggered by it. It's like, so these things, it got me thinking, because I flip-flop back and forth in this too. When I study, I have a bunch of books on yoga. And one of the more books that made me think about this a lot too was the occultist Aleister Crowley has a book or a series of lectures from, I think it's from the 1930s, called Eight Lectures on Yoga, where he kind of goes, demystifies things. But there's always something he says in there. He says, yoga, either yoga means union or yoga is for union. So then I guess this is where the question would come up, well, what are you uniting yourself to? And I know some, in the wake of that recent announcement from the Church of Greece, there were some American academic theologians who I guess are Orthodox and do yoga, and they're trying to, they say, oh, I do the Jesus prayer instead of mantras or something, right? So they're kind of like using a syncretic approach, right? Whereas I'm just doing yoga as stretching, basically. Like there's no, I'm not replacing anything with anything. The guy who runs Yoga for BJJ, Sebastian, he's from Europe, and he doesn't, there's none of that stuff. Like if you just called it something else, like body movements for BJJ, it would be different. It's I think it's beneficial because even like from Brazil, there is Ginástica Natural, which is in Toronto. I do that, which is a bunch of movements designed BJJ specific movements. And I think yoga and maybe some other stuff all mixed together to make this kind of system. And I think that's very beneficial as well. I think Saulo Ribeiro talks about it. That's probably where I first learned about it in Jiu Jitsu University. Saulo Ribeiro talks about Ginástica Natural in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just think yoga is good, but then you always have to deal with people who are going to get all triggered by you. But I don't know. It's weird because if you go to Google and you type in, I remember an article I read many years ago. And so I was trying to find it recently. I can't find the exact article, but you can find other articles that discuss this exact thing. If you go to Google or go to DuckDuckGo, not you Google, and type in, is yoga that we do nowadays even yoga, right? Like, is it actually when the thing that the Church of Greece or other Christians would complain about, is that even what we're doing? Because I don't think it is. If anything, all we're doing is would be a modified version of Hatha yoga. Like the Hatha yoga is just the postures. You're not doing all the other things that go along with it. So.
Yeah, I remember we had discussed a while back on some of the earlier episodes about a position that the Church of Greece had taken. I think it was like maybe our first or second episode, maybe. Mm-hmm. We're just discussing about the basic fundamental understanding of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and how what separates it from classical martial arts, I guess you could say, and how, you know, some Orthodox Christians have the problem with practicing any type of martial art because of its connection with, you know, Far Eastern kind of spirituality and things like that, Taoism, Qi, things like that. And we spoke about how, you know, things are much more nuanced than what people tend to like hear on the news or on, you know, whatever, on podcasts and things like that, like podcasts like ours. and that, you know, BJJ is a secular offshoot, I guess you could say, innovation, a new mm-hmm. style of, from, it has nothing to do really with, you know, classical like Kano Jiu-Jitsu and, you know, those kind of martial arts. And so it's a little bit different than those martial arts. And so the Church of Greece had also made some type of, statement about BJJ. Actually, it wasn't the Church of Greece. I think it was like the Metropolis of Glyphada, which is in Athens, who, you know, they were commenting on how a lot of the schools in Athens were teaching BJJ as part of their phys ed curriculum, which I think is a wonderful thing, right? And they were saying, no, this is not right, and shouldn't, you know, it's the kind of the rise of, you know, Eastern spiritualism and things like that. And so I think they were incorrect in this, because they were misidentifying what was going on. And so when you hear statements like with yoga, I think, again, like what you just said, you really have to kind of get into the nuance of what are we doing here. So there's a really good interview on Ancient Faith Radio with a Dr. Christina Mangala, who is a former Hindu, who's a convert to Orthodox. She lives in England. I believe she teaches. She's a doctorate. I think she teaches either to Cambridge or Oxford. I can't remember which one. I'll try to link it in the description of our podcast. And she has a really good, she's interviewed on Ancient Faith Today with the late Kevin Allen, where he talks about the Orthodox kind of understanding and is Orthodoxy and yoga compatible. So she's an expert in it. Her father was one of the most influential yogis of the 20th century in India. And so she definitely differentiates, and she speaks about what yoga is in India in a classical sense, how it evolved over time, how it kind of, it was changed, and then what happened when it was brought over to the United States, how that was changed, how it was commercialized. She says that, you know, 99% of all the yoga studios that you find in North America are not yoga, as in the classical sense, nor are they religious. The problem is that it's a hodgepodge of all these different types of, you know, yoga instructors. Some of them are, you know, very, very secular, and they only do the positional kind of, techniques for health of the body. And then there are some who are involved in, you know, transcendental meditation and things like that, and mantras and the spiritual, and they dabble into the spiritual side of it. So she says it's a mixed bag, but it's definitely not, you know, the same across the board. So in most places, it's kind of like picking and choosing aspects for modern health without the spirituality. And so this kind of brings us back to our understanding of it, is like, you know, you said you go onto a website, you know, it's just, you know, yoga for BJJ, right? And they're using aspects of yoga specifically for, you know, physical rehab, right? And stretching and things like that.
Yeah, I think Sebastian had herniated some discs. I think that's how he got into yoga, I believe. If you watch old videos, you'll see he's like a purple. He's a purple belt. If you're using somebody's a belt to modify movements, or whatever, right? You can get it like a yoga belt. There's these things, props you can buy, but or you can just use your jiu-jitsu belt, obviously. And so I believe that's how he got into it, and then developed a website to help people. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't know. It's interesting that even in India, I believe like there is the traditional yoga, right, which I guess would be part of the Hindu religion or something, and then there's like what developed out of that, and that's which is, I guess, like competition yoga, right? I think if you watch on Netflix, there is a documentary on, was it the founder of Bikram yoga? And on there, I think they, if you watch it, you'll hear mentions of like, it's like stunts, right? And championships and all that, it's all tied together. And then eventually that comes to America and you have what you have.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was searching right now, and I found the interview with Dr. Christina Mangala, mm-hmm. on Faith. So I'll definitely post this with Kevin Allen, and there's a full transcript as well, which is great.
Oh,
so
yeah,
they've transcribed the whole interview, and so I can post that as well for our listeners in the description. It's really important, I think, to be able to distinguish between, you know, what we are doing and then also the reasons why we do the things that we do, and also the application of those things, right? So going back to like what St. Athanasius said, you know, be like the bee, right? Take what is good and leave what is bad. You know, everything in life, almost everything in life, that is not, for example, specifically crafted as, for example, Orthodox practice, right? Within the Orthodox Christian tradition, is going to be created by other different people, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be aspects of it that are created for the wrong reasons, or even for other motives, right, behind them. But that doesn't mean that Christians can't adopt aspects of different practices, right? Because, like, I think about not just yoga practices, but I think about a whole bunch, like a slew of other, like look at homeopathic medicine, right? So a lot of people are into alternative medicine today because they don't, you know, they're wary of, you know, using too many chemicals and drugs and putting them in their bodies and side effects and things like that. So they seek out, other different types of, you know, naturopathic medications. And there's nothing wrong with that because there is a lot to be said for that field as well. But a lot of that comes from ancient Chinese medicine, right? And Eastern medicines, and even, other ancient types of homeopathic remedies that come from other cultures as well, not just the East, right? Look at First Nations, right? Like here in Canada, different remedies that they have had passed down through them, right? So we take from different cultures and different aspects to remedy our bodies, right? And no one says, well, that's really bad. Don't take it from them because they're a different religion or different culture and things like that. If it works, it works. If it doesn't affect my spirituality, right? Or if I'm not, you know, buying into it, then what's the problem? And so this is kind of like, I think the approach that a lot of people take. And I don't necessarily think that there's anything wrong with that. The one caveat that I advise and get, like, you know, as something to look out for is, like anything, when we ourselves as Orthodox Christians are not very stable in our own faith, or we don't know what we believe about, you know, Christianity, then we do have to be careful in anything that we do. Because I have, for example, friends who, were not very stable in their Orthodox faith. And then, of course, I have a couple of friends actually went and they joined like a yoga studio, and that particular yoga studio was deep into transcendental meditation.
Yeah.
That they got into that. They didn't understand that it was incompatible with Orthodoxy because they weren't really practicing Orthodoxy in the sense that they weren't really into their faith that much. They weren't really, didn't have a strong prayer rule, things like that. And so they got into that. And then eventually what happened was they were drawn away from the church, right? And they became like deeply invested into like the spiritual side of yoga. It was filling a void that they perceived they had in their own spirituality, right? And so, yes, that had a negative kind of aspect in the sense that it did draw them away from the church. So that does exist. But that kind of danger, I don't think the danger comes from yoga itself, or at least aspects of yoga, or any kind of exterior, you know, religion, things like that. The danger comes from our own, you know.
The man who built his house upon the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. When we don't know our own faith and we're not well grounded in our faith, then of course we can be swayed by many different ideologies and religions and philosophies and whatever you want, right? It's not just yoga. But when we have a strong foundation in Orthodox and we understand what we believe and we understand what is compatible and incompatible, then I think we can cultivate the discernment.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, look what's going on right now with the American election. It's like, there's a lot of Orthodox Christians. It's like, you're not an Orthodox Christian. You're an American. Like, that's your religion. Your state, your politics is what you care about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it can be anything. It's not just yoga. Anything can subvert your lukewarm spirituality if you're unaware of how lukewarm you are. Right. So
sure. Yeah, so Father, you know, I've just kind of further reflecting on what you just said there. Discernment is a big one. I think the topic of discernment, the ability to discern what is compatible with our faith and what is not, and to be able to truly be like to be and take what is good, that is something that we are called to cultivate. Because I know there is this kind of position. I wouldn't say in the Orthodox Church, like the Orthodox Church, I don't think has this position officially, but there are groups within the Orthodox Church that would say, okay, no, don't engage with any of this stuff because, you know, we're going to be led astray and, you know, you have to put on blinders like the horse, you know, and just kind of follow the Orthodox tradition and don't look at anything else. The problem with that is that, well, okay, where do you draw the line on what you put blinders on for? Like, so does that mean you don't engage? Okay, you're not going to engage with any type of yoga, let's say. Okay, let's take that off. Does that mean I don't engage in learning anything about any other religion? So let's say I'm in university or I'm in high school and I want to take a world religions course so that I have an understanding of what other people believe, so I'm not ignorant and I don't foster within me, you know, prejudiced thoughts against people and things like that. Do I not do that because I might be exposed? Do I not listen to any type of music? Because let's face it, 99% of all the music that we listen to is secular, written by secular people who have other ideologies and other beliefs or no beliefs. And so is all popular music, for example, you know, devoid of anything of value? And should I not listen to that? I should only listen, for example, to like Byzantine chant or, you know,
Gregorian chant.
Well, there are some people, you know, evangelical Christians, you know, there's a whole industry based on Christian rock and Christian rap and all this stuff, which I don't particularly like. You know, do I never go to the movies? Do I never go see movies because the majority of Hollywood is, you know, left and, you know, corrupt and blah, 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 right? So this is the problem with the world that we live in. Like, you know, everything we engage with, it requires discernment, right? Mm-hmm. So I am of the firm belief that we should do both, that we should have a strong base in our faith and have a strong education in our faith so we know what we believe, and a strong practice, obviously, because you have to practice your faith, not just read about it. But at the same time, I'm a belief in being also engaging with pop culture, engaging with you know, music and literature and cinema and all these things that are produced by mankind, because I believe that you know, it's a mixed bag, right? Like I like movies, for example, right? I'm a movie buff, so I watch a lot of cinema, right? And so while I don't agree with all the movies that I see or everything that is depicted within those movies, I think that there's also some real good messages that come out, but you have to be able to extract them you know, and separate them from the negative, right? But I wouldn't basically cut all that out of my life just for fear of being influenced by some negative aspects, right? So this is the discernment is a big one, and I know people would disagree with what I'm saying right now. That's fine, but
They can go to the monastery then.
Well, but even in a monastery, I don't think that people think of the monastery as being sequestered, you know, away from society. Mm-hmm. But even many monasteries, they still engage with the world. You know, mm-hmm. They still deal with commerce. They still deal with a lot of monasteries have websites. A lot of monasteries have, even engage in social media to be able to promote the monastery and things like that. Not all monasteries, but, and so there is some type of engagement with the world, mm-hmm. right? And in a lot of monasteries, they're also engaging with non-Orthodox when they're selling things, when they're producing a product to be able to support themselves, things like that. And mm-hmm. so that requires discernment. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not always, it's not so clear cut. When you're living in the world, you have no choice but to engage. So you could try not to, but I think it would make for a miserable existence. You know, at least that's my take on it, right? But going back to yoga, it's like, you know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with finding the beauty in other cultures or even other religions when they are not contradicting our faith, right? Mm-hmm. So stretching, for example, it's like, well, no, I don't believe that that's actually an attack on my Orthodox spirituality, right?
Yeah.
Should people be doing mantras? No, I don't think they should be.
Yeah, even that changing, let's say someone who does yoga, but like, oh, I just do the Jesus prayer during yoga. It's like, well, now you've made it, you made it more than an exercise now. Now it is a religious thing of some sort. Like, why would you do that? Why would you just focus on your breath? Why do you gotta like, oh, I'm just gonna do yoga but do the Jesus prayer instead of saying this mantra? It's like, why don't you just go somewhere else where you don't even have to make that decision and you can just focus on your breath and your stretching and then you can just cut that part totally out.
Yeah, you don't have to supplant you know, one spirituality for another, because not everything has to be like some people say, well, you know, Father, you know, everything should be prayer, and there's nothing wrong with that per se. Like if somebody wants to pray, you know, we're supposed to be, there's nothing wrong with doing the Jesus prayer. There's nothing wrong with doing the Jesus prayer when you're driving or when you're working or, mm-hmm. and if you want to do it when you're stretching, nothing wrong with that either, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be a forced thing. Like I have mm-hmm. to do this to somewhat counteract the evilness of the stretching. Like, I don't know, like some people have this idea that mm-hmm. it's inherently bad and that I need to kind of somehow bless it or sanctify it. Right. No, it's just, you're not doing the transcendental. Like I definitely tell my parishioners, like, you know, don't do the transcendental meditation. That can be dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Don't do the mantras. Like Dr. Christine Mangala in this interview that I'm going to post as well from Ancient Faith, she says the same thing. She says, you know, there are aspects that you should be careful of, and mm-hmm. that's why you educate yourself. and you don't wholeheartedly adopt everything, but there are some aspects that are very beneficial to us. So be like the bee. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I myself have never practiced. I've never done yoga stretching, not because I'm against it, but because I've just never really, I haven't come across it yet. I haven't really looked into it. Although it could be possible that I'm doing stretches that come from that tradition that I don't even know about that have been just shown by other jiu-jitsu practitioners, right? But yeah, I don't think it's such a horrible thing as long as we understand what's going on, right? And where it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have found Father. How long have you been doing the stretches for? Like.
Just a month.
Oh, okay. So it's like fairly new to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I only do it. I don't do yoga for the sake of yoga. Like some people do it as like, that's their workout.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I just do it. I did it, when I was injured and then for a year and then, it's like anything. Cause it's hard to get into a habit of doing it too. Cause it's like, so yeah, I just been doing it cause that injury I have recently. So I, Yoga for BJJ. I'm on their email list, I guess, because I used to be a subscriber. And I was dealing with this injury, and I was like, man, this is horrible. And they had a sale for, I guess, $10 a month or whatever it is. So I signed up for that and just been doing the back body one for a couple weeks now. That's what I've been working on. And then next, I'm going to work on my hips. So it's like, I don't know, is that bad? It's just weird, because if you were to take a picture of someone doing some of the yoga poses, you end up doing some of those poses, not like warrior one, all the more elaborate, whatever. But some of them are just normal things you would do. Like, oh, this part of my body is stiff, so I'm going to stretch it out. Right? Like, so I don't know. So so if people get all mad about it, it's like, so if you do the same thing outside of the context of quote unquote yoga, it's socially, it's acceptable to the Church of Greece, let's say. But if all of a sudden you call it yoga, then all of a sudden it's not anymore. Like, even though it's the exact same thing.
Sure.
Like, that's just weird to me.
That I think it's a good place to wrap up. But I think we ended on discernment, right? So understand what's beneficial to us, understand what is not, you know, aspects that are not religious, and we mm-hmm. take that. And and of course people will disagree sometimes. People say it's all religious or it's all has an aspect of spirituality. Some people prefer to infuse it with their own spirituality.
I just say, if someone is interested in yoga and you have questions about it, maybe they should talk to their priest or spiritual father then. And if it really bothers you, then don't do it. It's like anything in life. Like if you don't like it, then don't do it.
Sure. Yeah. Nobody's forcing you to. Right. And there's lots of different, there are different exercises out there, right? Like one priest told me, you know, like, oh, you know, it's better to stay away from it. And then there's so many other alternatives, right? Like you could do, like you could do Pilates, for example, you could do other things, and you know, they're not, it doesn't come from like a religious background. Right. And, mm-hmm. and fair enough. But like you said before, it's like, well, if you're doing the same movements or if you're just doing the movements for the sake of stretching your body, right.
Yeah.
What's the difference, right?
Yeah, because
Pilates,
I started a website, Pilates for BJJ.
Yeah.
It'll be the same thing. Like, so, but it'll be acceptable. Well, you're not doing that anymore. Yeah. A lot of the criticism too, it always comes from people who either have never done yoga themselves and are usually not even in very good physical shape. So it's like, they're the least qualified to be making a statement on it, but the, like most things in life, they will.
Yeah, well, I think education is key, right? The more you learn about things, the more nuance you realize things are not black and white,
mm-hmm.
And then you can engage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the fathers, that's what they did, right? It's like, you know, the fathers were highly skilled in, if we're going to talk about philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. The Cappadocian fathers were all big proponents of first being highly educated in classical Greek philosophy, and mm-hmm. then studying theology, they didn't study theology first. They made sure they went to Athens. They studied rhetoric. They studied philosophy, Platonism, yeah.
The way the Catholic Church still does it.
Yeah. And then they would go and learn theology because they believe that they need it. And also they would engage with the world. They would understand what everybody else was saying before they would have an opinion on something, right? Because ignorance is dangerous. Ignorance usually breeds, extremism, fanaticism, things like that. So it's good to understand what's going on. And then to say, okay, is there value in something, right? Mm-hmm. I think about, even like the Orthodox missionary approach. You think about like St. Cyril Methodius and other missionaries where, the approach was always, when you're entering into a culture where you want to evangelize them, it was never an approach like, well, you're all heathen barbarians and everything you're doing is evil and we're going to basically civilize you. Anytime that evangelism and ever went that route, it was never successful. Mm-hmm. But when there was a respect for the culture that they were entering into. And like you look at St. Herman of Alaska, right? Mm-hmm. Who went to the Aleutians and he never, he learned their language. He spent years learning their language, learning their culture, understanding what they did, how they understood spirituality, how they understood nature, and how they understood family. And only then did he start to speak to them about Christ. And with a respect for their culture, like to be able to adopt what was able to be adopted. Like, okay, there were some aspects that could not be adopted that were incompatible with Orthodox Christianity. But whatever could be adopted, whatever could be made compatible, it was preferable to adopt it, right? Mm-hmm. To keep the culture intact so that you're not basically attacking the identity of these people, right? But rather just giving it a new context. Mm-hmm. And so how different is that from what we're talking about right now? It's like, well, if I encounter this thing called yoga, right? And I say, okay, well, 80% of it is very highly beneficial for my body and for my physical well-being. And, 20% of it is incompatible with Orthodox Christianity. Well, can I not adopt, as everybody else has in North America, because they've changed and adopted and augmented yoga to suit, different commercial, landscapes, right? Why can we not do that as well, right? And what is the problem with that? Our missionaries have been doing it for centuries. Mm-hmm. When bringing Christ to a culture, why can we not bring cultures to Christ? Cultures into our tradition, and say, okay, well, this is compatible, and we can use this, and we can be the better for it. So,
considering that's literally what Christianity did with Hellenism. So.
Yeah. Like, how many of our theological terminologies are Platonic terminologies, right? Yeah. Like when we say nous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mind. Well, nous in the Platonic sense is very different than in the Cappadocian, I guess you could say, Christian context, right? Understanding. But we still adopted that language because that was the language of the day, but it was given a Christian context. And yes, it caused confusion. And yes, mm-hmm. it was resisted by some Christians at the time where it was misunderstood, right? Just like mm-hmm. today, somebody says, oh, Father Thomas is an Orthodox priest. And look, he's doing yoga stretches. That's so scandalous, right? So bad. But it's okay. There's a misunderstanding of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But I think with time, it will be accepted. And it doesn't mean that it's a watering down of our Orthodox faith, nor is it a watering down of other cultures. It's just basically an adoption of what is good and leaving what is bad, right? So,
yeah. So if anyone wants to know, they can go to yoga. I think it's yogaforbjj.net. Let me check.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, .net. And it's not even, it's just like a workout. That's all it is. Especially the longer ones. If you do like a 40-minute one, it's for someone who sucks at it like me, you're not even going to have time to be like, oh, I'm going to say the Jesus prayer. No, because you're just trying to focus on getting through this 40 minutes. It's just like, yeah.
And if anybody's interested in an Orthodox discussion on yoga, you can go to ancientfaith.com. And you can look up episode 163 of The Illumined Heart, which is a podcast with the late Kevin Allen, where he interviews Dr. Christine Mangala from England. And that's a really, really excellent, it's about 46-minute episode where there's a really good discussion between an Orthodox interviewer and an Orthodox convert from Hinduism who is considered an expert in yoga. And you'll get like a really good and balanced, informed opinion about what yoga is, what it isn't, what's compatible, what's not compatible. So it's the most well-balanced interview that I've heard on the subject so far. And mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend people to check that out, and we'll have the link in the description as well. So,
nice.
Yeah, well, thank you, Father, for another great discussion. And we'll see you in 2 weeks for our next episode.
Yep.
Till then, take care. Be safe. Hopefully the warm weather will stay for a bit.
Yeah, I hope so.
Take care.
Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.